Hello everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of my podcast Explore and Engage with Anam. Before I start the episode, I just want to tell everyone that I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful because my podcast is seeing lots of downloads. And so my listeners out there, I want to thank you all for continuing to listen to my podcast and for sharing your comments with me. I always appreciate hearing from you. So if you have any thoughts or opinions about my podcast, please share those with me. Whether you disagree with something that I'm saying on my podcast or whether you agree with me, I would love to hear from you. So connect with me, stay in touch with me, and go check out my website, tossifanam.net. And so with that, let me begin today's episode. And I would like to start by saying that if you drive a car, if you drive a vehicle, you have to be very careful. And of course, we all know that we have to follow traffic rules and regulations. We have to be safe on the road. We all know that. But that's not what I'm talking about in this episode. What I want to tell you is that if you own a vehicle, if you drive a vehicle on the road and you have a spot where you park your car at night, if you own a vehicle, you just have to be very careful because we have a public safety issue in this country. And I will call it a crisis because I just looked at some really shocking data. Reportedly, car thefts in the United States topped 1 million for the first time since 2008. Car thefts in America topped 1 million for the first time since the year 2008. That is just shocking. That is just shocking. And it tells you that we have a public safety crisis in this country. There's a crime problem in this country. In some parts of the world, a car may be considered a luxury. But in the United States, for a lot of people, a car is a necessity. Of course, there are luxurious vehicles, lots of luxurious vehicles. But for a lot of people, a car is a necessity because we need a safe and reliable vehicle to do everyday things like going to school, going to work, to go and get groceries, and so on and so forth. So when somebody's car is stolen, that has a tremendous adverse impact on that person. When a family experiences a car theft, when a family is the victim of a car theft, it is a tremendous adverse impact on that family's financial situation. And getting a new or a used car now may not be cheap. The supply chain crisis, which I will tell you is still going on. For anyone who thinks that the supply chain crisis is over, nope, it is still going on. There are still things, consumer products that are hard to find because of the supply chain crisis. It is still going on. And if you have paid attention to the news over the last couple of years, then you would know that the supply chain crisis really adversely affected the market for cars. For a long time, it was difficult to get new cars. In fact, I drove by in the state where I live in Wisconsin, I drove by many dealerships, and I saw that many of the car dealership lots were empty or just had very few vehicles. That's because for a long time, it was very difficult to get new vehicles because of the supply chain crisis. And even when you found a vehicle, the prices were high. Even for used vehicles, the prices went up, and so many people couldn't afford to get a new vehicle or a used vehicle. And so with the supply chain crisis still going on and inflation still very high, if a car is stolen, it may be very difficult to find a replacement vehicle. And families are already struggling. Inflation is still very high. And over the last couple of years, actually since the Biden administration came to office, inflation and energy crisis and supply chain crisis, I mean, these have severely hurt Americans' budgets. And we have a public safety crisis. Each car that gets stolen, that incident of theft, that loss may have a tremendous impact on hardworking Americans. I think most Americans are struggling right now. And many Americans, because of this bad economy and the ongoing inflation and other crises, are at risk of becoming homeless. So that's another topic that I wish to address in this episode, homelessness. There are folks who cannot make ends meet even after working at two or three jobs because prices are going up, the value of money is falling, and so people, for the same $100, people can now buy less things than they used to be able to buy previously, because the value of money has fallen because of inflation. And so to make up for that gap, a lot of Americans are working more. They are working two or three jobs. And so when prices rise and family budgets fail, many Americans may be at risk of homelessness. We see homeless people in many cities across the country. Here in Madison, there are many individuals without homes. And this is a big problem in the city of Madison, in the county of Dane, in the state of Wisconsin, where I live. If you go to downtown Madison, you are likely to see homeless individuals, people without homes. And because Wisconsin has a colder climate, we get a lot of snow and rain and, you know, icy cold weather. It's very difficult for people without homes to basically, you know, have a place to stay. And there are shelters. There are shelters. But it is a very sad situation. I believe that no one should be homeless. On God's earth, no one should be homeless. And yet, there are many homeless individuals, not just in the city of Madison, but in cities across the country. And this is a crisis that we need to address. Let me talk about Portland, Oregon, the city of Portland in the state of Oregon. The homelessness crisis in Portland is completely out of control. It has been reported that the city is actually encouraging homelessness by allowing activists to set up empty tents on the street. Let me repeat that and pay close attention to what I'm saying, because I saw this in the news. This was reported. You can also go look it up on the internet. So let me tell you what's going on. It has been reported that the city of Portland in the state of Oregon is encouraging homelessness by allowing activists to set up empty tents on the street. So let me tell you, friends, the goal should be to find ways to end homelessness, to bring people out of homelessness, to rescue people from homelessness. The goal should be to make sure that everyone in America has a safe and comfortable place to stay, a shelter, which is a basic necessity, food, clothing, shelter, basic necessities. And the goal should be to make sure that all Americans have a safe place to stay, have food on their table, and decent clothing. That should be the goal. But the city of Portland, in the state of Oregon, is encouraging homelessness by allowing activists to set up empty tents on the street. What the city should be doing instead is to try to get people back into homes, to help them find jobs, to help them be financially solvent, and to help them be independent and to find a safe place for them to live with a roof over their head. People need heat during the winter, and they need food on the table and safe drinking water and medical care. That's the goal. But instead, the city is encouraging homelessness by allowing tents to be set up in the streets. My friends, let me tell you that the city of Portland in the state of Oregon is a failed city. That's what a failed city looks like. If someone asks that name a city that's a complete failure, well, you can say Portland, the city of Portland. What a failure that city is. Cities like Portland, Oregon, and San Francisco, California seem to be stuck in never-ending crises. The point to note is that the leadership of these cities actually do not try to get the city out of, to get their cities out of crisis. They advocate, the city leaders advocate for policies that will keep these cities and the residents in never-ending crisis. That's why there is such a big homelessness crisis in Portland and in San Francisco. I have seen news reports regarding how the Portland economy is struggling. Many people find Portland to be unaffordable. They find the city of Portland to be unaffordable. It's an unaffordable place to live, which means prices are high, rent is high, and people just think that they cannot live in Portland, Oregon, because it's just so expensive. It's unaffordable. Taxes are high. In fact, I read a news report that stated that Portland has one of the highest income taxes in the country, and that is driving many people out of the city. The high income tax in Portland is driving many people out of the city. Shall we talk about taxes? Would you like to talk about taxes? Share with me your views about taxes, taxation. Well, let me tell you what I have in my mind. I believe that taxes erode people's income. Taxes not only erode income, but taxes also erode people's happiness. Taxes erode people's ability to climb the ladder of prosperity. Taxes erode people's confidence. When people face high taxes, they stop believing that if you work hard, you can have a better life. Because hardworking Americans see that a big chunk of their income is being snatched away by a growing government. Federal government, state government, and local government. In the city where I live, I complain about taxes. I complain about the wheel tax also. It shouldn't cost you over $150 to renew a license plate in Wisconsin, but that's how much it costs me here in the city of Madison because of wheel tax. Taxes is a way for government to control the lives of people. Imagine you sit down with a plate of food that you worked hard and you earned the money and you bought a plate of food and the government comes and takes a bite from your plate. And that's exactly what taxes do. See how much of your income is being taken out of your paycheck because of high taxes in a place like Portland, Oregon. Let's talk about California, because I mentioned California earlier. I mentioned San Francisco. In California, Governor Gavin Newsom in California. He's always in the news, the failed Governor Gavin Newsom. So Governor Gavin Newsom reportedly has a plan. What plan does he have, you may ask? He has a plan to build 1,200 tiny houses in California. Tiny houses? What's going on with tiny houses? Well, 1,200 tiny houses, that's what Governor Newsom announced that California would build. It's going to cost reportedly $30 million. Of course, you never know if that number is true, $30 million, because in California, don't be surprised if costs go up. Now, why would he build 1,200 tiny houses. To fight homelessness. That's what the governor is talking about. 1,200 small houses to fight homelessness. But is that a good plan to start with? And what exactly do you mean by small houses? What is small? According to reports, the home could be as small as 120 square feet and reportedly would take about 90 minutes to erect. Well, that's quite small, but is that going to solve the problem of homelessness? The answer is no, it would not. California needs to address the root causes of homelessness. Homelessness is the result of a poor economy and high taxes and poor education, unstable family life, substance abuse, mental health problems, and there are many other factors. As long as these issues exist, how can we solve homelessness? Homelessness is more than the lack of a roof over one's head. A person not only needs a physical shelter with a roof, with windows and doors, but a person also needs a stable household. A safe, sound, and proper family environment. That's what a person needs. Every person needs some kind of roots in the community. A person needs to be a part of a neighborhood. To address homelessness, we have to make sure that people have a stable family life, a safe community, a source of income, a sound job, and access to good healthcare services, and most importantly, a person must have the willingness to work hard to avoid homelessness. There has to be strong willingness to improve one's life. We can help those who are willing to accept help. If someone has a substance abuse problem and also has financial issues, that person could be at risk of homelessness. And the only way to help that individual is if the person is willing to combat the risk of homelessness and to fight the ongoing substance abuse problems. There has to be a willingness to get out of trouble and to head towards a better life. Circumstances vary and situations are different, and there are numerous reasons why people become homeless, so there is no general remedy. But in general, a person has to have the willingness to fight the risk of homelessness, to improve one's situation, to accept help, and to push oneself towards a better future. What the government has done to exacerbate homelessness crisis is that the government has increased taxes. The government has fueled economic crisis through COVID mandates, and the government has engaged in reckless spending, and the government has created supply chain crisis and energy crisis. And all of these combined made it very difficult for businesses to operate, and the result was job loss, and the result was inflation, and the result was basically all of the economic problems that we now experience. People are worse off because of the Biden administration's policies. Unless leaders in places like Portland and San Francisco actually try to address the root causes of homelessness, the homelessness crisis will never be solved. And so we have to be realistic, we have to look at the root causes, and we have to address crucial problems that actually cause homelessness. Simply building 1,200 small houses will not solve the homelessness crisis. Building small houses in California to tackle the issue of homelessness might sound cool, but it's not an effective way to address the crisis. Through this announcement, Governor Newsom clearly got a lot of publicity because this news is widely being read, and you know, I spent a good chunk of time reading this news, and clearly Governor Newsom got some publicity through this announcement, but building 1,200 small houses, it is not going to solve the homelessness crisis. And so let me talk about one final thing before I conclude this episode. Overall, when you think about the financial situation of this country, one thing that we have to look at is the United States debt clock. And at the time of this recording, let me tell you, the debt per citizen is over $94,000. Over $94,000. That's the debt per citizen in the United States. And let me tell you, the debt per taxpayer, that's an even more shocking number. That's more than $246,000. In the United States, the debt per taxpayer is more than $246,000. That's the kind of economic trouble we are in, my friends. And through reckless spending, through reckless spending, the federal government is just making matters worse. I think I have talked enough for this episode. And, you know, it's a grim picture when you look at the economic condition in this country. It's really a grim picture. The debt, the national debt is skyrocketing. The homelessness crisis is just becoming worse. And leaders in places like Portland and San Francisco are not doing what they need to do to address these problems, to address the homelessness crisis and to fix the multitude of problems that are affecting their cities. And so there are lots of issues that I can discuss, but I will not be able to discuss them in one episode. And, you know, what I would also like is for my listeners to reach out to me and to let me know what issues you would like me to discuss. There are lots of things happening in the United States and all over the country. We can talk about the economy. We can talk about national security. We can talk about the environment. We can talk about the geopolitical relations and public safety, energy, transportation, lots of issues that I can discuss. In fact, if you go to my website, tossifanam.net, you will see that my blog posts are all categorized, so you can search through categories and see the different blog posts that I have written and published. And so in my podcast, I would also like to discuss a variety of issues, mostly current affairs. So if you see something in the news or if you saw something in the news and you would like my opinion on that issue, you can reach out to me, send me a message, let me know what that topic is, and I would be happy to try to, I can't promise, but I would be happy to try to see if I can share with my listeners my thoughts and opinions on that particular topic. So feel free to always reach out to me. I thank you once again for listening to my podcast, and I hope to be back again with a new episode of Explore and Engage with Anam.